Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 16. I'm Jack.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Stato.
We've got a lot to cover today, starting with what your Derby Day routine is. So we'll get into the match shortly, but let's start with what your Derby Day routine is. So Stato, I'll come to you first. So is Derby Day a different day for you? What is your daily routine?
Yesterday was a very different day. yesterday was a church coffee morning, and trying to avoid having to take my son to a party at Quasar. Because they didn't have Sky and I wouldn't be able to watch it.
Amazing.
So I literally spent the day trying to give some balance in my marriage. And I was doing good in the morning so I could take back in the afternoon.
Unbelievable.
But it did mean having to look after my two-year-old during the game. So some of the game was spent...
As a welcome distraction.
Yeah. Then. I was reading Goat Goes to Playgroup and I was playing Pop to the Shops. I even lost that. So nothing went well.
You didn't tell me how Bass was around.
It was too complicated. Anyway. Yeah. Rose, nearly 3, has nailed it. But no, it was... There was nothing special about yesterday. If I got to watch the game, I'd have been really grateful.
Yeah.
And I just about did. With no volume on the iPad. With Peppa Pig blaring out the telly and the like. So
unbelievable.
It went about as well for me as it did for the team.
And Jay, what about you then? What was your Derby Day routine?
I said I'd watch 3 football games to my family, and I did watch pretty much all three of the derbies. Because I thought at least one of them, hoping it would be us, would go our way. I've always had a soft spot for Fulham.
Yeah,
I like the fans.
Good club.
I like what they're trying to do, and I think they're trying to play the football the right way. And I was really hoping Ranieri would make things happen, and I think for the first eight or nine minutes he did actually, and he just got undone. I do like that scheduling. I really do.
You rarely get the 3 derbies as well back to back.
I mean that's a Sky FA collusion result of all that really, and you know that you really want it to be honest. And then of course Liverpool Everton was actually quite entertaining as well for a 0-0. It was really entertaining
until the last
30 seconds. Just madness.
Should he have tipped it over?
It was going over.
It was going over.
Oh, it was going over.
I've not watched Match of the Day 2.
I mean, fair dues.
Wednesday or Thursday when I'll be.
You've recovered.
Yeah.
I mean, it called 5 minutes of extra time and it happened pretty much in the 6th minute.
Yeah, you get stoppages within. So, I mean, that's just...
People always forget it's a minimum as well, isn't it?
So also, why do they show that? We never had that before. It's only since Sky came in we had that. I don't personally like it.
They don't show
it. I like the jeopardy of not knowing.
Oh,
like,
the
fault.
Can you imagine, like, the fault being in a cup final and you're hanging on for the victory and you don't know how many minutes are added?
As a referee, I played 11 minutes of stoppage time in a cup final. Everyone kept getting cramped. Sunday morning players... on their big night out, and then just everyone got cramped.
If I was one of those players and Stato was refereeing, I'd have called a steward's inquiry.
The point is, none of them knew. We didn't have boards. So they're just going, how long left? And I keep saying, how long is actually left? Not, we're at 45, we've had 6, 5 to go, 5 left. Boom, get on with it.
You call a stoppage for cramp? Oh, look, come on.
They're dying, mate. These are unfit, fat Sunday morning footballers. I had to get a breather as well. I didn't have cramp. Take it when you can.
Well, my routine for the derby was slightly different because I was away for the weekend, so I was just trying to find a nice, quiet pub that actually had Sky Sports, which I managed to do.
Rural?
I was up in Norfolk.
Rural?
Yeah. Sorry, that's a long word for me. So that was my routine. Normally, I mean, and it was the same yesterday, you wake up and the first thing you think when you wake up is, this is it. Yeah. Derby day today. Yeah. Like, the whole day is different, isn't it? The whole run-up to... when the kickoff's going to be, which was 2 o'clock yesterday, you're just thinking, okay, 3 hours to kick off, 2 hours to kick off, 1 hour to kick off, counting down those seconds and trying to control your nerves, your anxiety, your excitement, all of that for what is a massive game. You know what? Everything else just doesn't matter. Where you are in the league, the progress we've made, all that stuff. It doesn't matter. It all goes out the window. Yeah. You want to beat them, and the thought of losing to them is just, you can't even comprehend what losing is like. But what happened? I mean, let's go on and talk about the game. Firstly, the team. So I think we were all pretty shocked to see Foyth and Vertonghen at centre half, and Alderweireld on the bench. That was, for me, that was the biggest shock, that he was on the bench. If in my mind, if you're injured, then you're not in the squad. If you're on the bench, Vertonghen could get injured, or Forth could get injured after a minute, there could be a red card or something, and you'd have to put him on.
Yeah.
So in theory, he'd be fit enough to play 89 minutes, so why is he not fit enough to play 90?
But is it by choice? That's the. I mean, look, I don't know the reason why. I don't know if there was an actual injury or not, or fatigue, if he's in the red zone that these sports players, sportsmen are in now. It was done with the best intentions. Okay, we expect that Foyth might be the one who has the shaky game, as it was. Vertonghen started off horrendously.
Yeah.
And then, kind of collectively, we all fell to pieces.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was a tough afternoon from minute one, really, where Arsenal really went for us. Like, they didn't give us a second to breathe. They effectively played the way we played against Chelsea.
Yeah,
that was really. When I was watching, I was like, "This is what it's like." And part of me thinks I love the football that we play, and we want to play out from the back, and we want to be positive and on the front foot. But I sometimes struggle watching those bigger games when we've got a man up front that's one of the best target man hold up players in the game, and I just think he had three centre halves around him, which is difficult because Arsenal play a different formation to what they've done for the last part of the season, and he does struggle against a back three, because anyone one versus three is going to be a tougher day for you. But his hold up play is still fantastic, and I just think sometimes in them games when you're under it a little bit, can we just be a bit more direct and
can
just
we not knock it and the Graham Taylor style.
Yeah, just hit the channel. But it's not hoofing it. It's just playing football where they're pressing us so high, so let's just sort of play over the top of the press. You think Kane can hold it up, win a free kick, we get up the pitch. It just frustrates me that we don't even really try that. We stick to our guns all the time with this is how we play. Playing out from the back, that's it. And I just felt like for large periods of that first half, we were putting ourselves under so much pressure just from goal kicks. You see them pressing us on the edge of our box and you think, just get everyone up. And, you know, I back Harry to win an aerial duel with Holding or their other Cartwell centre-half. So we didn't really test the whole game.
Well, I mean, he was doing that, Lloris, because he didn't have much of a choice.
I thought Lloris had a great game, by the way.
I thought he did. I thought
big game play.
I don't really see the criticism he was getting after the game. Because I do genuinely think he had a good game. But anyway, he was kicking long.
Mm.
But what he encountered was an Arsenal team possessed. 1-11, they were all possessed. So we were very quickly losing possession up there. Mm. The flick on to Son wasn't working. They were nicking the ball from us way too quickly, way too easily. Torreira, I've seen him play a few times. Only a couple of times.
Yeah. Good
bits
player.
And bobs.
Good player.
He was like a man possessed. He cannot sustain. Kolasinac, a lot of these players will not sustain this for the season.
I didn't think they'd sustain it during the game, but
I mean, interestingly, I think that one stat I read this morning is they have not gone into a half time yet this season
winning. Yeah.
And I think that would have been very much in their minds. Mm. Let's start on the front foot like we've never started before. That crowd does not do that for any other game.
No, you're right.
But that was the 12th and the 13th man, that crowd. It is never like that there. And that is going to help them fire themselves up. I've never seen them at us, at our heels, at first and second ball the way they were yesterday. Mm. And we just weren't ready for it.
We didn't deal with it. I mean, let's
ready for Wenger's Arsenal.
Yeah.
For that kind of, perhaps, you know, tippy-tappy, pass it round, and not this new sort of firebrand, this new, you know, attacking midfielder. Not attacking midfielder, but
aggressive
midfielder. Yeah. You know, if he'd have got an early card and lost his head, he could have cost them the game. But instead, now he's man of the match, scores a goal, and played fantastically. I'm not knocking him for that, but, you know, everything went for them, didn't it? And I'm not saying we were unlucky at all. We got what we deserved, and they got what they deserved. But
if we talk about the goals, I mean, their first one, which was a penalty, which was a clear handball from Vertonghen, you just think, you know, what are you doing? Where I was watching it in the pub, they didn't have the commentary, so it was harder to follow, and I couldn't really understand what had been given, and I just saw all the Arsenal fans going mad, and you just think, oh my God, he's given a penalty. And you're thinking, what's he given a penalty for? No one's gone over, but actually, it's a great spot, because no one even really appeals for it. Arsenal side, maybe one player shouts for it, because it was a good spot from the official. He tucks the penalty away, and at 1-0 after 9 minutes,
can Lloris not go the right way for once? Because that's, I mean, he goes the right way, he saves that, because he's not hard.
But then I suppose the other side is the striker just waits for the keeper to go, then it rolls in the other corner. It's a tough one. And then we were under it for probably 10-15 minutes at 1-0. That was the classic Arsenal where they get a goal and then they go for you. And that I was extremely nervous and was thinking, okay, we're just sort of hanging on here. And then we seemed to get out of the spell of them being on top. We had a little bit more control. Yeah. We played a couple of balls in behind which didn't come off, but we looked a little bit more threatening. We have the set piece, swings in, Dyer gets a head on it. It's dreadful goalkeeping from Leno. I mean, what he's thinking, I don't know. And then the next 30 seconds of why I love Eric Dyer, because that celebration was just phenomenal.
Do you see where it started? And I messaged you all straight away the minute he went in. I think what changed it for me, but just before that free kick, was we started pressing. Was Dyer and Sissoko started advancing.
Dyer left one on Torreira as well.
Ball stayed in play for ages. Yeah. And Mike Dean came back, had a word with him, didn't caution him. And I think if he'd have stopped the game straight away, he would have probably got a caution for that.
Yeah.
I suspect.
Yeah, it was.
But
really
it was like
hard.
2 minutes of play.
And I was expecting to see a bit of that. I was expect because we're starting to do that a little bit more. Just leave one on a couple of key players. Let them know we're there.
It's all Ben Davis. British mentality.
British mentality. Yeah. Just let damage them mentally a little bit. As it happened, it clearly didn't do that with Torreira. But then a second later, the free kick.
And the ball's in the back of the net.
It was the best moment. It was the best 10 minutes of Dyer's Tottenham career, wasn't it?
Fantastic, wasn't it? The way he was giving it, and then him and Sissoko going after Kolasinac. It was brilliant.
He's a snidey little turd, isn't he?
But you know what? I feel like the North London Derby has lacked those moments.
It should be like that, but it still doesn't help me not despise people.
Yeah, sure. And I also thought that there were going to be some cards, because if they're not, you'll be able to tell me about this, if they're not a rule about a substitute being on the field of play.
You're right, but I mean, that's more during play. So it'd be hard to get done for that. Especially in a melee like that, where, I mean, more than half the people there were trying to separate it. Mm.
I did love
Kolasinac
looking over
trying to have a go. Didn't Dyer shout to Ramsey, stay in your seat, get back on that fell.
But I did enjoy seeing Danny Rose just in there, just mixing it, and it's like, where's he been for the last 3 months? And there's a bit of trouble and he's straight over. So that was 1-1, and then I mean a couple of minutes later we get a penalty, which I mean I didn't think it was a penalty at all.
I didn't in all time. I've been told there's a touch, but I didn't think it was enough.
In real time I thought it was a penalty because it looked the way he slides across it looked
super naive challenge.
Yeah. I mean it's not a penalty, but I can sort of see why it was given.
I don't care.
Yeah. Came from the spot. Never in doubt, 2-1. Brilliant
penalty. Crazy number of penalties Mike Dean's given now. He's like far, far in ahead. The most penalties he awards.
Yeah, but he's the most experienced referee in the Premier League.
Yeah.
So he's got the age over everyone else. I mean, I don't know if it's different proportionally to games, but
Son was clipped.
Do you think?
Yeah, but the point being, that was a penalty. The other one at the other end was a penalty. You know, it's not like he's given randoms.
I can see why we got our penalty, because that's in real time. I thought it was a pen, but when you see the replay,
especially the tension of it, in like a minute, was it 30 seconds after the restart? It was really quick.
And then you're in front at 2-1, and I mean, I don't want to sound negative, but I wasn't confident at 2-1. I've messaged you all at half time saying we need at least one more to get something out of this. And then the second half, I mean, Arsenal made a couple of changes at half time, didn't he? Brought the other striker on, he brought Ramsey on, and he packed the centre of the pitch out a lot more. And we really struggled to deal with it. We struggled to adapt and just get a foothold. But you watch it and you think, you get to 65 at 2-1, you think we've got a chance.
If we'd gone three at the back at that point, it might have been different. But then the problem was, we as soon as we took Dyer out of midfield, we missed Dyer in midfield.
Yeah, we lose that control.
And why would you... So I've been thinking, he doesn't change things early enough.
Well, because they've gone from one up to two up. And they're mobile, fast players.
Yeah, okay.
So I would have gone...
Yeah, sorry. You're now talking 3-2.
Yeah, sorry.
What frustrates me a little bit is, Pochettino's the manager, so part of his job is to identify that and change it. But it's not solely on him. And this is where I feel like we still lack that really experienced player to just sit in the middle of the park that has been there and done it. The Sami Khedira, the Marquisio, that kind of player that isn't going to play every week, is not going to He's not a superstar.
Edgar Davids.
Just that player that's just got a little bit of know-how. Because I just feel like we lacked a little bit of management on the field, okay, where someone could have looked around and gone, hang on a minute, we're getting outnumbered in here. You come and sit in here for the next 10 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Let's just be solid and try and get through the next. And I felt we're a little bit naive in that second half, especially when it went to 2-2. Because I don't know about you, when it went 2-2, I'm just sat there then thinking that this is going to be not. I can't see us getting anything out of this.
It was ominous at that time. The crowd just erupted again.
And then, I mean, 3-2 and 4-2. The Aubameyang goal, which I think made it 3-2, where he hit it first time, we couldn't have done a lot about that. That was a good finish, and he had a good game, to be fair to him.
The Lacazette, that was the 2-2. That was the goal that took it to 2-2, and then it was Lacazette.
It's all one horrible blur.
It's all one horrible blur. But
for them, a deflection goes their way off Dyer, inside of the post, it's away from Hugo's reach. I'm not saying we didn't deserve it or they didn't deserve it, but again, you know, you just feel like it's all against you and you're sort of trying to push water uphill.
Yeah, it's tough.
At that point, I did think we do need to change things, and I didn't see anything change apart from Dyer coming deeper. And I think spotting those runs that he was completely unchallenged or unspotted. Short-sighted everyone.
He was nowhere in the second half as well, wasn't he? He didn't change that soon enough. You know, Winks had been at it in the week. It might have been better to have him on.
I think one of the toughest things for us is, especially going forward, because, I mean, we were poor defensively, but we didn't really create anything, not really. And that all comes down to Eriksen really having a bit of an off day or being shut out the game quite well. And that just shows you how important he is to us, that when he doesn't really play that well, we really struggle to create or have any kind of control. Because normally when you watch Spurs against any opposition, we have spells, 10-15 minute spells, where we're in the opposition's half, we're transitioning the ball from side to side and we've got them penned in. We just didn't have that at all, to be honest. So, I mean, it was a real, real tough day at the office. It was tough as a fan to watch that. Yeah. But I think it just shows again, it's more confirmation for me that the sides that are in the top six are all going to beat each other this season. Everyone's going to take points off of everyone. And you've just got to be at it every single week when you're up against those top sides. And if you're not, you will get punished. I talked Sport on in the car when I was driving home, and they were asking, or they were fishing really for Spurs fans, saying, was Pochettino at fault? Is he the right man to take Spurs on to the next level? What are our reactions to that?
Yeah, I mean, yes, of course he is. With the right backing, I'm not saying he's not getting the right backing, but, you know, as and when it comes, he's the best manager we've had since Keith Birkinshaw. It's just clickbait.
Verbal 100%
clickbait. Verbal diarrhea. It is.
And you had the ludicrous Spurs fans fan up going, he's not won anything, you know, so I'm not necessarily sure if he's the right man, all of that nonsense. So I just think if that's your opinion, that's your opinion. But, you know, for me, Poch is still the man. Like, well, we had a bad day at the office. That's football.
I've never seen such radical changes from a manager as I saw in Emery make at half time. And actually reading back now, I see he does that a lot.
Yeah.
Changes stuff at half time, completely changes things. And I thought that's bold. We have never done that. We might have done that where we've had some injuries.
We don't really have the personnel to.
We don't really need to.
I mean,
and would you have spotted the need to? I understand we wouldn't have spot. We didn't have a need to change things at half time.
Not personnel.
But we should have known. The stato's up at Hotspur Way should have known. He makes changes. He changes systems, and he gets things going. And they're unbeaten in 18 games.
Why do we wait and react?
Yeah, they are. They haven't. They're not. They're never in front at half time. They're always winning games. How are they doing
that's
that?
Point.
We should have just let them be 1-0 up at half time, and then none of this would have happened. That's the moral of the story.
Could you imagine?
The thing is,
change nothing.
It's about levity, isn't it? You know, after last week's game against the Chavs, we weren't as good as everyone was making out we were then, and we're not as bad as everyone's making out now. But there's all the hyperbole around the club. There's obviously all the anger and the frustration coming out from Twitter, from, you know, people who are sensible people whose opinions I value, and then, you know, understandably, they just get a bit angry sometimes. Yeah. And
that's what the derby does, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the derby brings that side out.
But do you know what? This is something I'm trying to get a positive from. The North London Derby used to define our season. We'd nothing else. We'd be mid-table and they'd be up there. And do you know what? If we could bruise them or, you know, dent their title ambitions, but win a derby. That was the be all and end all for us. And now, look at the reaction from them. As to, they had a lap of honour, Boyle. I mean, I've long since switched off, but they had a lap of honour. They're singing and dancing in the dressing room. Yes, I appreciate it's the North London Derby, it's important. But that used to be the norm for them, year in, year out. And we have only won once in 20 odd games there. So, you know, they were properly up for it. But, you know, is there, you know, have they gone a bit too big for it?
I think it's interesting what you were saying, that a week ago we were being touted in the media as, you know, potential title contenders,
and then
you lose, and then you lose it, you lose that derby, and then it's all Spurs will struggle for top four. And I think that that is the extremeness of the media at the minute. And I think this is going to happen all season long. I think that top six is going to be tight. City, I think, are going to win the league, but I think everybody else is going to be there or thereabouts, and you're going to win some of the big games, you're going to lose some, just because it's high quality sides.
I mean, I think it's the top five because United are 8 points behind us. Yeah. And I just can't see them because they've got Woolwich on Wednesday.
But the thing that you're
getting anything from that.
The thing with United for me,
Arsenal are away, aren't they?
Oh, I don't know.
Old Trafford.
Okay. But still,
the thing for me with United is just the fact that in January they can spend 200 million, and they it's that ridiculous. They could just go and invest in it.
Might be better off spending the money to get rid of Mo.
Well, it would cost more than that, wouldn't it?
Well,
probably.
Possibly,
so there we go. I mean, 4-2 in the end, which I honestly I don't think was the worst result in the world. It could have been 5 or 6.
Can we briefly touch on the banana incident? I mean,
disgraceful.
It is absolutely disgraceful. I've got. I'm not defending anyone. Please don't think that. I've got a thought process though. If you were going to throw a banana, not because you're a racist, because your friend who's hungry is standing 10, 12 metres away, wouldn't you throw a full banana? Are you going to get it anywhere near if you're just throwing a banana skin? Is it plausible that the fellow was just eating a banana and threw what was in his hand? It could have been his coins from his pocket or a lighter.
Yeah.
I'm not defending him, and it's reprehensible.
Yeah.
And obviously the connotations make you think, I can't throw that.
Yeah, I was.
But he's still, you know, and it was at the heart, it wasn't at one person individually, it was a whole bunch of them. Is it possible that the person was just throwing whatever he happened to have in his hands?
Yeah, a bit of rubbish.
It's just a theory. I don't know.
It's a bit of rubbish. You're right. It's not. It doesn't feel like it's in the DNA of our club's fans.
Every club
has a contingent.
Of course.
I genuinely don't believe we've got a contingent that's anything like many, many other clubs that we won't. We don't need to go into right now.
It's not a much thing.
But yeah. I just don't believe there's the malice in it.
And also, football crowds are quite self-policing now. It doesn't appear that many people are afraid to say what they feel. Mm. If someone's standing next to you saying something offensive or reprehensible, people call you out on it.
I think my stance on it is, it's difficult to know all of the ins and outs because we will never know.
Yeah.
But on your point, I think everybody knows, don't they? If you've thrown a banana, what message that could bring, whether or not it is your intention to that or not. It's completely unacceptable that the guy's tracked down, he's given a life ban.
Has he?
Fantastic. It's a disgrace. And, you know, like, I can't stand Arsenal. I hate them to bits. But you could draw the line. And, I mean, that kind of stuff has just got no place in football, in society, anywhere. It's completely unbelievable behaviour, just shocking. So I mean, that man that did that is not a Tottenham or a football fan. That is a man that is he's got a social problem. He has got a lot of problems because, you know, that, like I said, I hate Arsenal so much. I'd never think to.
No.
It wouldn't even be an option in my mind to do something like this. It's a certain type of people, and I agree with you, Jay. I don't think that we have a group of fans that are like that, but unfortunately, people. There's always someone that's doing something like that.
Yeah.
We've got another game to talk about, actually, which feels like a lifetime ago, which was the brilliant victory over Inter Milan in the Champions League.
We're competing at the highest level, aren't we? Week in, week out. Something that Arsenal just are not, because they're not at our level.
Well,
and they haven't been at our level for a number of years.
They're playing some Ukrainian fifth-place team from last season.
Yeah.
You know, a nomadic. It was like a nomad derby because this lot couldn't even play in their home ground, so they had to play somewhere else.
Yeah.
So
we played one of the top sides in Europe, by the way.
I mean, that's definitely the hardest fourth seed you're going to get in any draw. We were a bit unlucky to get them. But.
And we played well against Inter. Bearing in mind, Inter are a side that they're not the Inter of old.
No,
but
it's not
they're
Fattinaccio football, is it?
They're an experienced side with the know-how of getting results in Europe. Yeah. And you could see how they set up. And I'll be honest with you, they played exactly the same way as how Juventus played last season in the knockout game, where they sat behind the ball. Even at 1-0, they were perfectly happy to be withdrawn and try and play us on the counter-attack.
Yeah.
They frustrated us. We didn't create a great deal. The goal was fantastic. Sissoko getting the ball and just driving at the heart of the defence, playing a lovely square ball.
It was
ball.
A really similar move earlier in the game, the same. Ball across to Dele Alli, a little flick across, didn't quite come off that then.
Yeah. And a lovely finish from Eriksen. Yeah. I mean, that was with 10 minutes to go. So,
It wasn't just a case of it, but he did that quite deliberately.
Yeah.
And what were you with the team selection? Because obviously we played so well against Chelsea, but then Eriksen and... who was the other
Ali.
And Son dropped down.
I wasn't
and
shocked.
Ali didn't play.
Ali did play.
Did he?
Yeah. I wasn't shocked.
Lamella and Moura that came in. I wasn't shocked because I thought he needs to refresh this. We can't play them in all three.
Yeah.
And it gives them the opportunity. It was arguably the easier of three games. Looking at it, you'd probably say that was fair. And neither of them actually delivered. Both got taken off. And then you can't have them complaining if they're not picked because you've had your opportunity and you didn't deliver.
Yeah.
And actually when the guys came on, it made a marked difference in our performance. Yeah. But you know what? At no point did I feel we aren't going to get this, we aren't going to score.
Yeah, I agree with
like
you.
Where against PSV, I really thought we aren't going to do this. Yeah. And I was comfortable, I was confident we'd do it.
I agree with you.
Do you know Kane missed that one?
Yeah. Oh,
you know, and that was just...
Yeah.
I mean...
That was a sitter.
Or was that against Chelsea? That was against Chelsea, wasn't it?
He missed one against Inter. Just going back to what you said about rotation, I was expecting either Eriksen or Ali to be on the bench. I didn't think they'd both start because people are forgetting that Eriksen's only really been back three or four games. Go on, Jay, you were going to say something.
I'm half asleep, but
brilliant. But thanks for listening.
It felt to me it was a captivating game.
Yeah, it was.
It just felt like two heavyweights just going at each other. Wilder fury, just bang, bang. Passage of play just being broken up. And I thought Brozovic, Perisic.
Good player, Brozovic.
Such great players, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they were getting really into the ref. They were getting really moody.
It's the know-how, isn't it?
I saw it with the Turkish guy who's had a Champions League final, I thought he's one of the better ones. And no, still, we weren't naive.
No decisions.
That was the first thing. I was genuinely pleased. I came away from a Champions League game and I didn't have to go, oh, we were so naive. Yeah. Why don't we ever learn from it? We actually played well and you know, weren't silly, making challenges from the wrong side, giving away free kicks.
Yeah.
But Inter are still very good at that. Yeah. How they avoided so many cautions, I don't know. Because they could shift fouls around.
Brozovic
clattered Kane after about 5 minutes, which was should have been a booking. And then he did the same thing at the start of the second half. I don't think he was cautioned at all in the whole game. I really liked both of the Inter centre halves. Yeah. I thought they were both really, really solid players. Kane had a tough game against them. They restricted him.
They're saying Skriniar's on his way to...
they were both really solid centre-halves.
United for 65.
Yeah.
It's the new Lindelof.
Yeah.
But you've got to think, the way Inter play versus the way United play, that Inter will sit back.
Different.
Whereas Mourinho, whilst doesn't play attacking football, he's not defending the box for 90 minutes. The centre-halves will get exposed more, so we'll see about that. But a brilliant win. The dream's still alive. All we've got to do is go to the Nou Camp and win.
Or if Inter don't beat PSV, we just match their result. But do you know the frustrating thing, and it's always been the thing that's going to kill us, was if we hadn't conceded that last-minute goal in San Siro, that would have been qualification. Because we'd have been 1 point up, they'd have been... Sorry, 2 points up, they'd have been one down. And they couldn't have caught us because of their head-to-head.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
So frustrating. It's our own doing. But, we live the dream and we go out there.
You never know.
Like, I think Barca are too proud that they would put out a weakened team just to rest. I'd be interested to see who they've got either side of it.
Either side of us.
Before that, I think a few days before that, they've got Espanyol in the local derby.
So it's a derby. It's
and Espanyol are right at the top of the league as well. So there is there's a bit of a derby. But what people forget is with the Champions League, it's not as if you can put your under-18s out because you have your registered squad. For Barca, their reserve front three would be what? Suarez, Coutinho, Dembele.
Suarez, they think he might be out
for a fortnight, and that means he could quite just miss the cut off of that. If they can't afford to lose Messi for another domestic game, then maybe they do rest him. Any opportunity to see him and us play against him is an opportunity to learn. But Jesus, he was outstanding.
It's, just not, it's another level. It is another level. So,
and more so than Ronaldo. I know the Juventus we played. Well, he was at Real Madrid. The Real Madrid you play in a group stage is different to what you play in a knockout stage. They wouldn't have been as lackadaisical as they were. But again, Messi was just beyond what I've seen Ronaldo do in all the years he played in the Premier League.
I think it's the Ronaldo-Messi debate is always really interesting, and I've been lucky enough to see both of them live. And Ronaldo to watch is brilliant. He's a big, imposing athlete,
dynamic,
and you know, he's so strong he'll smash defenders out of the way if he has to. And like watching that is brilliant, but when you see Messi play, he just has this awe about him and this presence. He sees things that no other players can see, let alone executing it.
He makes space in a way you can't comprehend.
Yeah.
He can see a path in an absolutely crowded box through. He can just see that. It opens up in front of him. And he can shoot. I mean, his goal against PSV, no backlift. Mm. And it was just the keeper. Mm. It was like, did he just shoot?
Yeah.
And it was like behind him and in the goal already. Yeah. It was like, how did he shoot?
It's almost like when he dribbles as well, Messi, he's got this 360 degree shield round him.
It's like he's on FIFA.
That your players, you can't even get close enough to kick him.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. So for me, he's on another level, but I mean, Ronaldo is a fantastic player as well, so I would never criticise anyone that thinks Ronaldo, but Messi, just unbelievable. Stutter, you've got an update and for the book giveaway competition.
Yes,
that we're
so
running.
The book that I worked on for a couple of years as a researcher is now out and available to buy in the club shop. It's a coffee table book, so it's very big and bulky. You're looking at, there's 209 different shirt variations worn by 122 different players. There's 22 cup final shirts. It's a complete timeline of home kits since 1961. Away shirts with one third kit missing. From 71 onwards, and it's incredible. The feedback we've been getting straight away has just been incredible. There was a signing on the Friday night in the club shop with Ledley King, and a couple of the authors. I went in for the ballot for that, didn't get it. It's a shame, but I think they even got a free copy of the book, which would have been lovely, but I still want to get one for my dad as well.
There's been pictures with Hugo as well.
The players have had it. Has got it. But yeah, the feedback has been incredible so far. Everyone's really, really loved it.
And there's a fantastic interview that you did a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, episode 13, if you want to go back and listen, if you haven't already, was me interviewing Simon Shakeshaft, who's the guy who just pulled it all together.
Mm.
Without him, this wouldn't have happened.
Mm.
And he's a very interesting guy when it comes to anything kit-related. Mm. The players, ex-players who are trying to sell their collections through auction houses, etc., they go to Shakey. Because he has this encyclopedic knowledge, he can date games. He can show from shirt numbers. He can tell you when it is.
Unbelievable!
And, you know, really helps the player if they were trying to get the real value out of these articles. But like I say, it was an incredible thing to be part of. And we have a copy of the book to give away. We've decided that we're going to go down the route of it. We really want it to go to a listener to the podcast. So we'd like you to leave a review on iTunes. We never beg. I listen to so many podcasts and they're always going on about, leave us a 5-star review, leave us this, that. We would like the person, we're going to pick them from the people who've left reviews on iTunes or your podcast host. So wherever you get your podcast from, please go on and give us a review, and then you'll be considered. Quite also like for the people to follow us on Twitter, @_EchoesOfGlory and @TheSpursShirt. And we'll pick out from all the suitable candidates. Also on Facebook, so if you like the Facebook page for both those accounts, you'll be considered. And we'll make the decision on an episode.
Yeah.
We'll draw it out of a hat of all the suitable candidates.
Yeah.
And because I'm really, important to me that a listener
definitely
gets to get this,
definitely,
not just some serial competition enterer. You see so many people. You look at their, they retweet it and you go, hang on, all they've done is retweet competition things, and they did end up selling it on eBay.
Yeah.
And, the book's £30 and it's well worth it. It seems expensive, but it's one of those, you can dip in and dip out. It's not a novel. You're not going to sit there and read it all in one hit. But it is fantastic.
Sounds like my kind of book.
Yeah. And out in time for Christmas.
Anything with words more than five letters, Jay struggles.
Anyway. Yeah, so, on a picture page book's great. Five for words you. On a page. Lots
of pretty pictures. Done a lot pictures. Of rural, though,
yeah.
wouldn't it?
Yeah, he would have done.
Lots of pretty pictures on there.
But brilliant book. So, yeah, get entering and we'll be deciding that
leave us
in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
Fantastic. We've got a couple of games we want to preview as well. So, we've got Southampton Wednesday night at Wembley.
New manager bounce.
Yeah, you know mental. What? I was quite surprised to hear that he's gone now because they got a decent result against United. I know they were two up. I would have expected this to have been.
Is that dropping points for Man United now? A sack of offence in the Premier League? Is that where they've fallen?
It's twisted. But I was fully expected. Was it on? Was it the Saturday night game?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
It was there for Insomniacs. It was available for.
It was the Saturday evening game, and I was falling asleep during it. But
they started so well.
Yeah.
Southampton, they were so up for it. And, you know, for all his flaws, he knows how to fire up a team.
Yeah.
But he's just, he's what he's got to play with.
He's got a record of doing exactly the same for a lot of clubs, and he's earned a very good living out of it. But I can't see how he keeps getting jobs. He kept them up, but I think they shouldn't have appointed him then.
I think
I'm very surprised it's happened now, but it's all coming out that Paulo Sousa's been around for about the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Oh, really?
Attending games.
I was hearing it was Ralf Hasselhüttl, the RB Leipzig manager.
Where did you actually hear that, though?
On the street, man. That's where
I'm. On the street.
You always get these names floating around, don't you? I mean, Paulo Sousa.
What's he managed at?
I'm not sure.
Donetsk.
I'm not sure about that. And
I'm thinking of Fonseca. Sorry, I'm thinking of a different guy.
The fella you've mentioned, the Leipzig. Leipzig's that's a decent job in Germany. Like, going to Southampton.
Yeah, but he's already been. I think he left in the summer, and the guy who was at Hoffenheim has already signed up for next season.
Oh, right. So, fine. So
he's
sort of
the young guy, the real hot guy in Germany.
I think once he gets back from Australia, I mean, Harry Redknapp will be on the market, won't he? Go back to Southampton. Well, I don't know. I don't think there.
But he's not going to be. Whoever it is, he's not going to be in charge. They've got Kelvin Davis, who's a former goalkeeper, played there for 10 years.
Is he still a player?
No, he retired 2 seasons ago. He barely played in his last 4 seasons, so he would have been like their third choice goalkeeper. He was just a squad fodder, really.
But he was a brilliant trivia question towards the end of his career of who is the Southampton club captain.
Oh, right.
Because it was him. But everyone just...
So he's well thought of in the club.
Yeah, he was there a long time.
I think he stepped up about a year ago as the number two when Eric Black left, who's been always been part of Mark Hughes' sort of backroom team. But so he'll know what's going on. Yeah. He'll be.
And also that type of character, you'd imagine Southampton Wednesday night will go back to a bit of an old school style.
Yeah,
probably a 4-4-2, a solid, don't give anything away.
I wonder in this day and age, though, 4-4-2 is such an old fashioned cliched way of playing that it's going to be a 4-5-1.
5-5-5.
Four with two in front and then three and one. And you've only got 4 forwards and 6 defenders in your keeper.
It's always you've got to be careful against sides that don't have a manager when you play them, because it's one way or the other.
Strong game last season that did for us, didn't it?
It is that, though, isn't it? They either have no game plans, they have no direction, and they're dreadful when you win 3-0, or they're so motivated that they actually put in a really decent performance. Well, what do you think, Jay?
How do we lift ourselves out of the mire of yesterday? Is the big question.
I think
on my
our professionalism. 95% of the time is what will do that. I think our level, we'll get back to our level quickly, and our level is actually, without meaning to be too dismissive, I've got a Southampton friend, Clyde, is putting away the rubbish, and we do that better than any, as well as anyone lately.
So we literally have no choices at the back. It's got to be Foyth.
Foyth and Toby. But just your question there, how do you lift yourself? I would flip that and ask you that. So if you go to work and you've got a big presentation, it goes horrifically wrong, and you come out, which I know happens quite
years.
A lot.
It's been years. I can't remember how I dealt with it.
You do that, and then the next day you've got another presentation that's not as big. There's not big business on it, but you would lift yourself for that. I don't think you would then go into that being like, oh, yesterday was so bad. I'm not.
Do you know what? Sorry, I'm not so worried about the mentally. I think mentally we're strong enough. Mm. What was very clear was our fatigue.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the bit I worry about. That is the bit I worry about more than anything.
And having
now.
Two games this week isn't going to help.
And having two games this week, and then Barcelona, and Leicester. a week on Wednesday.
Well, Leicester's a tough one to go.
Leicester's a bit of an unofficial derby game for some reason now, isn't it? Like their fans they're always up for it. But
they did win by 10 points. So yeah. I don't really know.
Their fans
where this
are hilarious.
Come from, not...
That last game of the season at Wembley, you
yeah,
were
that was brilliant.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? Ding dong.
Yeah,
their fans are all over it.
That was a great game. Yeah. But I expect there to be a lot of rotation again, because I think Danny Rose will probably come back into the side because he was on the bench.
Walker Peters? I mean, everyone was lauding Aurier and then he didn't have such a
good
game yesterday.
I think whilst Aurier's played the last, he hasn't played that much. I think he'll be all right to stay in.
I think
Winks will come into the side. He didn't play against Arsenal.
Sissoko?
I think the sock, I mean, he'll
run
for days.
He
can play a different
role in the same team. It's not a problem, is it?
I think the sock will probably stay in. I think just Lucas Moore will probably come in for Son. I think it will be those kind of changes. And then
Ali Ericsson Kane?
I think they'll play.
I think they owe us. I mean, Ali didn't perform well.
I mean,
at all.
Kane will almost.
Apart from being
definitely.
A tapping merchant and penalties, what else does he do? So, you need him to get out there and destroy Southampton as is his want.
I'd be shocked if Kane wasn't playing. But now I've said that, he'll go with Llorente.
Oh, God, it'd be Llorente. Oh, God, no.
It can't be Llorente, can it? It can't be Llorente. It just can't be.
He only started at Swansea last season, didn't he? That's the only league game he started.
Llorente, 5 goals in his last 3 starts for Spurs. So he should start more.
Yeah.
There you go.
Is it definitely five goals in his starts?
Hat-trick against Rochdale, the goal against Swansea, and then the West Ham.
Because they said he's got 10 in 6 starts, but he's got 10 goals. And he started 6 games, but he hasn't scored in
those
6 games.
He's got 5 in his last 3 starts, which is an unbelievable stat.
We don't know who's the most fatigued out of all of them, and they'll all have spent half the day in cryo chambers.
It was me, so I went to bed at 7 o'clock. I just felt sick from...
7 o'clock?
7 o'clock.
Predictions then.
So I wasn't trying to have a drink of alcohol. I wasn't...
I would consider starting Lorette. If Kane is fatigued... Where would you choose to have him? You'd want him against Leicester, not against Southampton, if you had to pick one, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but I think he'll play. I think he'll start against Southampton with the aim of if we're a couple of goals up, he can pull him off the 70.
We got 9 games in December. That's the one down, 8 to go. It's not... doesn't bode well if we're talking about being exhausted already, does it?
I think we'll be all right.
Brilliant. That's such great news. Thanks for that.
Right, Southampton, Jay, score.
2-1.
Yeah, actually, I was going to go the odd goal.
I think 2-0. I don't think that they do a lot going forward. And then Leicester?
I'll be happy with a draw from that.
Would you? Take a draw?
I suspect that'll be a 2-2.
Jay?
I think 1-0 to Tottenham.
I thought you were going to say
there'll always be goals
Leicester.
In it. Though. There's always goals in it.
Vardy's getting loads of penalties at the moment, so we're trying to avoid giving away penalties this week.
I think we'll bounce back with 2 wins.
Do you?
To be honest, I think Southampton will. That will be one of those games where it's goalless after an hour, and you're thinking, "Oh Christ, here we go!" And then we finally get the breakthrough in the second. I think there'll be one of those
games.
Are
you
going
on Wednesday?
I am. Yeah.
This one. Yeah. Are you going?
No, I'm not going to.
Neither. I've sacked off them the next December league games in Wembley.
Have you?
There's no trains for me.
After
the Inter game. There was an hour delay on my journey, so I didn't get in until 1:20. With all the weekend games, there are no trains, so I've got to be away from my children for even longer. If I take the car, I leave them housebound. I can't do that to them. I just bought 63 quid a game back. At this time of year as well.
Mm. I've just bought Bournemouth tickets, if only just to get out of my house and away from my family for Boxing Day. That'd be fun. Bournemouth's always a good game. But I think we have got to pick it up. We've got to find a way around this fatigue and injuries. It's all happened again at the wrong time. Those two games back to back. This is what the best teams in the world have to deal with week in, week out.
The great scheme of things, if we win our next 2 league games and go down, you know, in Barcelona, there's no disgrace in that whatsoever. It's not the end of the world. I'd rather get the 6 points in the Premier League than an unlikely... If you were to offer me no points in the next 2 league games or win in the Nou Camp, I think I'd actually rather take the 6 points.
I'd take the Nou Camp win.
If you're offering me no points and the victory at Barca, I'd probably take the 6 points in the league and going out. But if you're offering me 3...
three and the winning
three
Barca.
I'd probably have that.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I'd take the winning Barca at any cost.
Okay.
Interesting.
That would just...
When you say any cost, Kane out for the season.
Oh, God.
I mean, that's a...
We're getting into pub chat now, aren't we?
We might be forced to buy something.
You take Kane out of the season or have your left finger chopped off? No.
Pass me a pint, Jay.
Take my dick being chopped off for Kane to stay fit for the rest of the season. I don't use it anymore.
Sorry.
Yeah, catheters are fitted. Right, I'll be right. Just a little bag.
You've got a title for this week's
podcast. Don't use it anymore. Unbelievable.
Can I talk about the stadium?
Yeah,
what are your
on.
Thoughts about this fan? Was it a familiarisation?
I honestly know nothing about it.
It's just
it's
weird.
A long way to go. If you're me, if you're Abbas and you live 5 minutes away, he was straight on, wasn't he? Going
what is this?
Two hour long slots where 3,000 fans can go into the south stand. You need to pay £1 and you get it loaded onto your season tickets. I believe it's for season ticket holders only, although that wasn't what they first announced. Mm. And you can have a stroll around the south stand only. But they're saying it's a test event for the stadium, but it's not one of the council test events. And I don't want to be sceptical at this point, but something doesn't add up to me. Is it normal for a stadium to have an event that's got no purpose to get in the safety certificate? Surely they could use a few hundred workers if it's just testing the turnstiles and stuff. It feels like last time. Are they trying to do something and then say, oh, we found a problem, it's going to be a further delay?
Does this count as one of the test events? It doesn't count as one of the test events.
I think maybe they're just short a few quid and think, oh, we could do with
another
£3,000.
They might even give the pound to charity, but it's...
Shops will be open, though.
Yeah, the shop, and that's the other thing. Is it like a goodwill thing? It's going to make everyone be more...
When is it?
The day after the Burnley game, so Sunday the 16th of December. So it's like 11 till 1 o'clock, 3,000 people go in and go out, and then 1 o'clock till 3 o'clock, another 3,000 are in.
I'm not sure. I want to wait and my first experience that ground to be a match day.
And I'm trying not to be hard sceptic, but the way things are, you just wonder why. What's the purpose of this?
I think there's two... Delving into the mind of the Levy, I see two motives. One, just to keep fan sentiment ticking over.
Yeah.
It's just another. It's another event at the stadium to keep the fans bubbling along positively. Second one, 17th of December, week before Christmas, get the shop open. There's 6,000 shoppers down there. There you go. That's 6,000 that would never ordinarily go.
Because they're saying that the fire. Systems are not working, but that isn't going to be a problem. You can have fire wardens there because, for example, the House of Parliament doesn't have the capability of putting in the fire systems that are needed in such a building. So they have fire wardens who are there. Not like you or I would just, when the fire alarm goes off at work, we have to make sure everyone gets out the door, but people whose designated role it is. So we could open the stadium with these people in place. It's not like a real...
I'm not sure, it's a bit strange. Yeah. It's a bit strange. Interesting, we'll see what happens with that. It's time now for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur.
So I will give you a game. A date, and then I'll give you half of the starting 11 and you've got to try and work out who else started that game. So the game this week is 22nd of August 2015. And it was Leicester 1, Tottenham 1.
Oh, I've been trying to think of Southampton
of
games.
22nd of August 2015, Leicester 1, Tottenham Hotspur 1. So we played a 4-3-3 formation that day. So the goalkeeper was Hugo Lloris. The right back is a question mark. Centre halves were Alderweireld and Vertonghen. Left back was Ben Davis. One of the more defensive midfielders is a question mark. The other defensive midfielder is Eric Dyer. And there was a third central midfielder who is a question mark. Up front that day was Harry Kane. And then you also need to figure out the left and the right hand side of
midfielders. Is this an away match?
This is an away match. Leicester 1, Tottenham 1. So you need to tell me the right back, one of the holding midfielders, the centre midfielder, and then the two wide men.
Go for the obvious, Kyle Walker, right back.
Kyle Walker, right back, easy. Correct.
Defensive
Victor
midfielder.
Wanyama?
Wasn't Victor Wanyama, no. Okay.
Musa?
Musa was the slightly more advanced midfielder in that game, but he was one of the central players, yep. So that leaves defensive midfielder and then the two wide men.
Son?
Wasn't Son.
So little change.
Wasn't Lamella. Eric Lamella, yeah, good one. He was playing off the right hand side of midfield.
Central midfielder.
Central midfielder and then the
Ryan
left
Mason?
Midfielder. Great shout. Ryan Mason, great shout. I thought that would be the one that might catch you out.
Just looking for the guy on the other flank.
On the left hand side of midfield. Wasn't Ali. Ali actually came
Ericsson?
On. Wasn't Ericsson. Ali came on in that game and scored. That was his first goal for us.
Yeah.
It doesn't currently play for us.
Doesn't currently play for us.
He was part of, well, I might give it away. He was part of the bail money.
Oh, okay. Gilfy.
Wasn't Gilfy.
Who? Sigurdsson, Soldado, Kirikez.
He went on to play at West Brom.
Oh, Nasser.
Nasser Chadley.
I wouldn't have done that without the clue.
Nasser Chadley. You forget about him. Yeah. He was a decent... I quite like Chadley. But that side there, so that was Lloris in goal, Walker, Alderweireld, Vertonghen and Davis, Dyer, Mason, Dembele in midfield, and then Lamella, Chadley and Kane.
So from what we've got today, you've got Eriksen, Dele Alli, Son. I mean, it's massively improved from there.
Well,
isn't it?
Bonus points if you can name any of the subs. You've already named Dele Alli as one, but I mean, this is where the depth of squad shows. Danny Rose was a sub, correct? You need a goalkeeper. Is one as well.
That would have been Michel Vorm.
That was Michel Vorm, yeah.
Defenders, you're looking at.
There was one more defender on the bench.
Kyle Norton, is he still there?
Kyle Norton, no. He currently plays for Spurs, the defender on the bench
Carl
at that
Walker
time.
Peters, he's a very youngster.
Walker Peters, no. And then you've got...
Oh!
Two, you said Danny Rose already, didn't you?
So you've got to get that defender, and then there's two midfield players that are no longer with us.
What cost?
Right, I'll give them. So the defender, Kieran Trippier, was on the bench.
Yes, of course.
You've got Dele Alli, Jay, and then Tom Carroll and Josh Onuma were on the bench.
So, is it for Wednesday now alone?
I think so. And so the final one was
Bentaleb.
On the bench. That bench was Vorm, Rose, Bentaleb.
That was him on the way out, though.
Yeah,
he was.
Trippier, Alli, Onuma and Carroll. So, I mean, there you go. It shows how much our squad's improved there. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, we have moved over to Audio Boom. So please make sure you get on there and subscribe, because we're not going to be publishing too many more of these episodes on SoundCloud. So we want to make sure that you keep listening to us. So get yourself over to Audio Boom when you have a chance.
Download Audio Boom. It's great.
Get those reviews in.
There you go.
And follow the Echoes of Glory Twitter account and the Spurs shirt book.
Fantastic.
And win yourself a copy of this.
And it is a brilliant book as well. It's absolutely fantastic. It looks the part. It's got everything you need. If you're into your kits, it's a real must have.
It's still amazing.
Where can I buy this book, Stato?
Just in the club shop or from the club shop website.
Fantastic.
Exclusive. Not on Amazon?
Not on Amazon.
Okay. I won't look for it then.
Don't be buying off Amazon. Be buying at the club shop. Keep your money in Daniel Levy's pocket.
There we go. Jay,
you'll be hoping for a few sales from that trial day in the South Stand.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see what happens there. Jay, Stato, good to have you both on,
as
always.
Thank you. It's cathartic.
Enjoy the week, everyone. 6 points, please, Spurs. Whatever happens, the future's bright, the future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world.
We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, The billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2. It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.
This is quite...